How's it going? I certainly hope you've had a superb sporting week. It's that time of the week again. Yep. It's another episode, and thanks for joining us. It's Talking Point. Welcome to it. My name's Trevor Kramer. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Why not click on the multimedia subsection under podcasts? You can also follow Citizen News on Iono FM for the audio version. You'll also find the Talking Point video podcast on the Citizen YouTube account. Go check it out. Subscribe. The Cricket World Cup. Well, it's at the business end, but we're going to take our discussion this week down another little path. We're going to chat about the United Rugby Championship, the URC, which got underway a few weeks ago. Pretty much gobbled up by the Rugby and Cricket World Cup tournaments, so we're going to switch our focus there for the time being. Joining me in the Talking Point studio this week, rugby is one of his primary beats. He's also very knowledgeable in many other sporting fields, including cricket. Senior citizen sports writer Ross Roche. Ross, great to have you on board again. Welcome back. Nice to see you.
Thanks very much, Trevor. Good to be here.
The United Rugby Championship into its third season now since South African rugby's breakaway from Super Rugby. It's been challenging to say the least, but despite the hectic cross-continental clashes to play away games in Europe, South African teams adapting pretty well generally. The Stormers' name already engraved on that prestigious trophy, and they featured in last season's final. Now, it's not a bad return, is it, Ross?
Not at all, especially considering, you know, people thought we were going to heavily struggle, especially when you look at that first season. You know, we went on tour straight away. The first thing all four teams did was fly overseas and have to battle it out on the foreign soil. And they really struggled. And there was a lot of people poking fun at the choice and everything like that. And once we got back home, we showed that in South Africa, it's a different kettle of fish, and the Stormers went on to win. So it definitely has been good. You know, that's three South African teams out of four in finals over the past 2 years. You know, the Stormers hosted the Bulls first time round, and the Stormers hosted Munster last season. So that's a very good return, and, you know, one that we can be proud of so far.
As I said earlier, we're into week five of the new season, as I mentioned. URC rugby flying under the radar somewhat, with alternative attractions stealing a lot of our time. The Bulls, Leinster and Glasgow setting the early pace with three wins and a loss, a return of 15 points each. Now let's home in on the Bulls for now though. Positive start by them. It's coming via feedback from players. It's been largely attributed to the meticulous planning of their director of rugby, Jake White. So he must have been working very hard in the off-season, almost taking a cue from Russie, it would seem. Spread the load, build the depth. Ross, it's early days, yes, but ominous signs perhaps already.
Yeah, I think, you know, people might think it was the off-season, but it definitely also was last season, you know, when the Bulls struggled quite a bit. You know, they went through a real bad patch at a stage, where I think they were still trying to find their identity. You know, Jake was still building up, you know, trying to get the right mix. And with a few extra players that he's now brought in, he seems to be hitting the sweet spot at the perfect moment. And, yeah, it's been a very promising start for the Bulls. They've got one more away match. Hopefully they can head home with three wins, you know, on the road, which would be a big thing for them. Especially since most South African teams struggle on the road. So they've done great so far, and hopefully they can keep building.
The pedigreed Stormers currently lying ninth with two wins, two losses. Granted, they're still missing a few of their box on their travels without being overly critical, but surely John Dobson would have accounted for that already in his preseason planning, Ross.
No, definitely would have. They've also been struck by quite a few injuries, which plays its part, you know. I feel sorry for old Salman Murat. He seems to pick up a big injury every season. You know, he was named as their official captain this season with Stephen Kitsoff making the move over to Ulster. So, and then he's been knocked out of the running. And again, they find themselves a bit thin at lock due to the injuries and a few guys leaving, like Marvin Ori. So that has also impacted them. They also have never traveled well. Unfortunately, it's something that Dobson, before the season started, said he did want to change, but it doesn't look like it will change now. But it's their terrific home form where they really do come alive. So it's not a worry that they're struggling so far. And even if they do lose to Munster this weekend, you know, for three losses straight on the road, it still definitely won't be panic stations, especially with the Bucks to return in December. And also a good home run there where they'll likely go on a good winning run again.
Lions seem to be in an encouraging rebuilding phase with some close defeats initially in their first three matches. Then finally it clicked. They edged Scarlets 24-23 last weekend away from home. The Lions barely affected by Springbok call-ups. Some hard work going down there. One can't help getting the feeling there's something positive brewing at Ellis Park, Ross.
I hope so. some of those close losses were a little bit worrying. You know, I think that the Lions should have been confident of beating a Bokla Stormers at home, you know, and they had to fight back to go down by 2 points there. Edinburgh was a big chance to get a win there in Scotland again like they did last year. But that ended up with a one-point defeat. And then Benetton also, a tricky team. But the Lions' first-half performance indicated that they could have won that one as well. So they were a bit disappointing in the fact that they really could have won all three of those. Then, funnily enough, against the Scarlets, I thought the home side were the better team that time. I thought that the Lions struggled to get the same kind of fluency that they did in those first three. But the difference was this time they stayed in range and they took the big moments, especially at the end there. It was a big play from Richard Creel to make that charge down. And you know, then the try to Henke van Wake to win it. So, yeah, no, encouraging signs to get that win. Big game against Ulster tomorrow, which is a tough one. But hopefully they can, you know, take that momentum.
Now, the Sharks are pretty much a national brand. There's supporters all over the country, all over the world, in fact. They're not very regional, unlike some of the other brands. The Sharks in an unfamiliar position right at the foot of the table. Hard hit by Springbok call-ups. Their national players only back in franchise action from next week sometime. A zero return in four matches from their European sojourn. Back home again, a visit from Connacht this week. Ross, jump into John Plumtree's shoes. Get into his mind. Surely the drought won't persist at King's Park.
You'd hope not, but they've struggled without their books over the past two seasons, and that's a problem again. You know, Plumtree's only been in the job for a short amount of time, so he definitely has time to work it out. There's no way as they'd be looking to replace him at this stage. You know, he definitely has at least the season to sort things out. So it might not happen immediately, but hopefully there will be a turning point. His biggest job, I think, is to get them to perform without those books. That has been their biggest weakness, and it's shown again, you know. Obviously, they were the unfortunate side that had to travel immediately. You know, they had no home games to get a feel for the competition. They were straight away on the road, and that is always tough. But they also haven't played well at all, you know, and that's the worrying thing. If you can at least lose while playing decently, you know, sort of like the Lions, at least there's hope, at least there's progress. The problem is that they haven't been performing well at all, and that's where he needs to shift the momentum, you know. Needs to get them to start putting in decent performances, and even if they do go and lose, as long as they, you know, are looking positive and their heads are up and they're going forward, you know. That's where I think they need to do it.
Just before we wrap it, Ross, it doesn't get any easier for the Stormers, as we said, and the Bulls. They have to fight on two fronts this season, as we know. On the one hand, there's the URC, then also the Champions Cup. Again, squad rotation, depth. It's going to be critically important, is it not?
Very much so. You know, John Dobson was asked before the season started whether he thought the Stormers had a realistic chance in the Champions Cup. And he said, you know, it's probably going to take another couple of seasons for the South African teams to build the squad depth that would make them realistic, you know, challenges. Obviously, anything can happen when it comes to knockouts, you know, as long as you get to that stage, you could end up going all the way. But to build the kind of squad depth that, you know, a side like Irish Giants Leinster has, takes a lot of time, a lot of effort and a lot of money. And it also takes time for those youngsters in the teams to build up that, you know, experience. So that is a big problem for us, you know, having only been in the competition for one season now. And, you know, it's something that they'll be building on. The Lions and Sharks are also in the Challenge Cup, which they'll be looking at. It'll be interesting to see what the Sharks what they will do in that, because they should want to win it because they probably shouldn't even be playing in it. But will their focus be more on the URC and trying to get back into the Champions Cup despite their very poor start to the season? It'll be interesting to see what John Plumtree's mindset is when it comes to that one.
Before we close the discussion, quickly pop your cricket hat on. Based on pure form and potency, can anyone potentially stop India from winning this Cricket World Cup on home soil? Very few chinks in all departments. They've sailed through the round-robin phase, unbeaten, rarely troubled, a juggernaut to say the least. Is there a bad game left for India now at the last hurdle?
Probably not. It'll be very tough to beat them, you know. It was already massively tough, you know, facing an in-form team in their home conditions in front of thousands of fans. You know, that was always going to be tough. And then we saw reports yesterday coming out that India has been getting the favour on the pitches as well, which was very disappointing to see. You know, they already have two legs up being at home and in front of their home fans. And then to see that they've possibly been going away from the ICC's recommended pitches to suit themselves is a very disappointing thing to hear. You know, you'd think that a team like that would be confident of, you know, playing in the correct spirit of the game and, you know, going through on themselves. So, you know, if they've doctored the pitch for themselves in the final as well, it's going to be an uphill battle for either the Proteas or Australia, whichever one of them makes it there.
Not letting you go just yet, Ross. It's that favourite part of the show. Time to acknowledge excellence and bash mediocrity. Yep, it's time to select our flop and our gold star of the week. Now, I'm awarding my gold star this week to the Indian batsman Virat Kohli. It's a pretty obvious one, I think. A record-setting 50th one-day international century in the World Cup semi-final against New Zealand on Thursday, surpassing the 49 made by the legendary Sachin Tendulkar. His contribution, 117, to India's mammoth total of 397 for four. Humble as he is, Kohli still regards his idol Tendulkar as the greatest. So well done to Mohammad Shami, it has to be said. Seven sticks, knocking over the black caps. And my flop of the week, I take my cue from the Pagati team this week. It goes to Kaizer Chiefs.
You suck!
No turnaround of any sort in form just yet. Another derby flop. Nothing hurts a Namakosi fan more than that, does it? Ross, how are you looking?
I'm also going to be going with Virat Kohli. Fantastic record there. Made all the more, you know, impressive by the fact that he's done it in 291 games, whereas Tendulkar's 49 came off 463 games. So very impressive record there. He's the current top run scorer in World Cups, passing Tendulkar's record there as well. So, you know, he could end the World Cup as having the most runs in a tournament on top of that. My flop goes to the Sharks. Their loss against Zebre over the weekend was a shock. Despite their very poor form, Zebre is usually a bit of a gimme. And, you know, with the amount of money that's gone into the Sharks, the kind of players that they've got, even without their books, they should have been targeting a win there. The fact that Zebre haven't won since 2022 and they went through the whole of last season without picking up a win. So that was a big shock. And so my flop goes to the Sharks.
Ross Roche, senior citizen sports writer, thanks for joining us and sharing your views with us. Really great to chat with you again. My name's Trevor Kramer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Click on the multimedia subsection. It's under podcasts. And why not follow the Citizen News while you're about it on Iono FM? That's for the audio versions. You'll also find the Talking Point video podcast on the Citizen's YouTube account. Go check it out and subscribe. Have an awesome sporting week. From me, Trevor Kramer. Cheers.